You're listening to Marketplace Weekend from APM. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. When we think of our own legacies, that can often mean family or children. But the U.S. Census reports 47.6% of women between the ages of 15 and 44 don't have kids. That's the highest percentage since the census started tracking that data. So if you don't have an obvious heir, how do you manage your financial legacy? Sharon Klein is Managing Director of Wealth Strategies at Wilmington Trust. Thanks for being here.
Thank you very much for having me.
When we talk about the idea of leaving a legacy, when a family approaches you or a couple, how do you start that conversation?
Well, a lot of people start with the financial information first. How much do you have? What are you invested in? And I think you have to take a step back from that, because that is typically the last part of the conversation, is how do you invest your assets? The first part of the question is, what are your goals? What is your family structure? How do you envision your family? How do you want your children to benefit? And you kind of work from there into the financial picture.
And what about couples without heirs or people without heirs? Have you seen more, less of that lately? What do you see?
When it comes to couples who don't have children, in some ways their estate planning is a lot more complicated, because when a couple does have...
It's kind of counterintuitive.
It is counterintuitive. And the reason it's counterintuitive is that if you think about it, a couple who has children, the logical beneficiaries of their estates are, of course, their children. So if you have a couple that doesn't have children, I think you have to counsel them to think a lot more thoughtfully and clearly about who they want to be the beneficiary of their assets. You know, oftentimes the worst thing that you could possibly do is to do nothing. And why is that? Because state law takes over when you don't have a will. It's called the laws of intestacy, and that governs what happens when you don't leave direction as to where you want your assets to go. And so every state has its own intestacy laws. But for example, in New York, if you do nothing, if you're married, your spouse will get everything on the first death. But then on the second death, the surviving spouse's parents will inherit.
Oh, wow.
Yes. The side of the family who inherits is random, depending on who dies last. Because the person who dies last, it's their family that's going to inherit the assets.
A lot of this stuff sounds like the rich people world. Is this important if you don't have a lot of money?
Yes, it's so important.
And because people will listen and say, oh, come on, what I've got, you know, in my 401k is nothing.
Well, actually, that raises two issues. The first one is that it is so important, I think maybe even more important for people who don't have that much, because if all of your assets is going to pass to the other side's family, leaving your side out in the cold, that could be a more devastating event than if the family is otherwise wealthy and just doesn't get this added bonus of extra assets. So that's very, very important. What's also very important is the way that you go about creating this mechanism, which you can do via a will, which we're talking about. You could also do it via a revocable trust, a revocable living trust, which, as its name suggests, is a trust that's revocable and changeable and amendable by the creator during their lifetime. On death, it functions like a will. But the beauty is that during lifetime, it also functions in the event of a disability. So even if you have very little assets, it's a prearranged mechanism as to how you want your assets to be distributed, how you want to live your life in the event of a disability. If you don't have a living trust, if you don't have a power of attorney, you probably have to go to court for an expensive and potentially embarrassing guardianship proceeding.
People in general are nervous to talk about death.
Yeah.
And a lot of the thinking and planning that goes into what we leave behind.
Mm-hmm.
Are there tips you have learned in your business about how to start that conversation?
It's always a topic that has to be approached with sensitivity. You have to take your cues from your client. And I would emphasize, it's not so much thinking about death and mortality, which nobody wants to think about. It's about leaving a legacy. It's about empowering your descendants with the tools that they need to deal with wealth, or to deal with a trust, or to instill values in their children, or to impart a family vision statement. So I think if you think of it in those terms, as empowering a family to get together and provide values that's going to last for generations, rather than thinking about it as what are you going to do when you die, it's a lot more palatable.
Sharon Klein is Managing Director of Wealth Services at Wilmington Trust. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. Appreciate it.